Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
All right. Well, we had a little bit of technical difficulty. I'm not Abraham Hamilton III. I'm J.J. Jasper, J.J. and John in the morning on AFR. One of the professors on Friday with Trivia Friday, Learning University. And what an honor to be filling in for Abe. Now, I wish that Abe was a little more gregarious. I wish he would come out of his shell. I think we all agree that he needs to just really tell us what he really thinks. Well, if you've watched the temperatures across the nation, a historic heat wave, and I hate to start our time together with a sad story, but in Tupelo, Mississippi, where our flagship station is located, they have a really nice petting zoo. It's a real tourist attraction. And again, a sad story with the heat wave. Today at the petting zoo in Tupelo, their water buffalo evaporated. So very sad. I feel bad. Their water buffalo evaporated. I feel bad for the little kids that were there. That would just be hard to unsee. Now, I think Abe would want me to lead with a dad joke. So there's that off the table. Hey, ordinarily, those of you that listen, faithfully listening to the Hamilton Corner, Abe opens the word and shares a devotion. Then he goes to the topics of the day. And I'm going to do that in reverse, if you'll allow me. I'm going to share a few headline things, and then I'm going to bring a message that I think is going to be appropriate and applicable for men, women, boys, and girls. I believe it will resonate with everyone. So start with some things that are in the news. Of course, you have that monumental trade deal with Japan, which was epic. People talking about that. Planned Parenthood closing many facilities across the country. Still some court battle going on with that defunding and the big, beautiful bill. But those of you, most of you who are pro-life, what a victory that Planned Parenthood facilities closing across the country. And we just are so thankful for the sanctity of human life. American Family Association, American Family Radio, one of the nation's largest pro-family ministries and one of the nation's largest pro-life ministries. I'm privileged to be a frequent speaker at pregnancy centers across the nation. And boy, just knowing that we're fearfully and wonderfully made by God, created in his image, the sanctity of human life from conception to natural death. And so that's good news in the pro-life community. Oh, I do want to say, I mentioned that I get to speak at pregnancy centers. I'm going to be in Alexandria, Louisiana, the Sinla Pregnancy Center, Randolph Riverfront Center. That's September the 18th. It's a ticketed event. And I think the executive director, Kim, I think she said they had between 800 and 1,000 each year. So a wonderful opportunity there. If you're in the Alexandria, Louisiana area, that's going to be on September the 18th. Back to some of the news. And again, Abe is the political pundit, and I am not going to embarrass myself trying to weigh in. He is he has the acumen. He is so knowledgeable about all of these things in the news, but the tariffs continue to dominate the news. That's something we continue to hear. And I just want to acknowledge some of these headline news things. Epstein, certainly still in the news. Now, I've got a lot of thoughts on all these issues, but my observations would be more of a rant and less political pundit like the Honorable Abraham Hamilton III. Abe certainly is the expert. You know, I saw something from Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, and some would say she's controversial, but she sent something out yesterday. She said, I want to share something personal, a formal A former federal employee from the Voice of America was just indicted after spending over a year making violent threats against me, my family, and my staff. At one point, he told me directly, "We're coming after you and your staff. We're locked and loaded. We're going to take you all out. You're going to get one between the eyes." She goes on to say, "I faced countless threats from extremist Democrats, radical activists before, but nothing like this. This man terrorized me for 15 months. Now that he's been arrested, we learned he had ties to federally funded agencies and access to resources that made these threats even more chilling. This is exactly how dangerous the rhetoric from the left has become. For years, they've demonized conservatives, calling us extremists, encouraging their allies to make us pay. Now their words are becoming violent actions." And she goes on to just say she's asking for prayers, and Democrats know that when they force me to drain my campaign funds, paying for security, they make it easier to beat at the ballot box. She doesn't have the luxury of having government security details. She has to pay for security out of her own savings. So I share that because one of the things that seems like that it's been headline news that has been leading the news is certainly the recent revelations from Tulsi Gabbard that appear to possibly point to Comey, Clapper, Brennan, and even former President Barack Hussein Obama, who, again, appears to allegedly, possibly be the ringleader of the debunked Russian hoax narrative that we had to go through year after year after year after they were targeting President Trump and dogging him and just trying to, all of these agencies, radicalize these agencies, and at the top, there are so many people that would argue that they're just rotten at the top in terms of the CIA, the FBI, the Justice Department, the rank-and-file members, hardworking, God-fearing, I'm sure. But at the top, during the Biden regime, even before that, under President Obama, now it's coming to light, again, allegedly, from these recent revelations from the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. So I was thinking about this target on Marjorie Taylor Greene and her fears. I would just say, please pray for Tulsi Gabbard and Pam Bondi. Now it's in the hands of the DOJ for possible criminal investigation. And I'm one of those ones, I guess you would just say one of those nuts that believe in conspiracy theories, because I just really do believe that there's a deep state. And some of these things that are happening seem to indicate that indeed that's happening. I thank God for President Trump. They tried every possible way to bankrupt him, to go after him with lawfare. Even, you know, he was shot. And then the other, on the golf course there, another assassination attempt. So pray for these leaders that are trying to peel the onion and find out how deep this corruption goes. So I said I wanted to at least not acknowledge some of these things that are in the news. And I want to take a minute and just brag on my friend and hero, Abraham Hamilton III. I have the greatest respect for Abe, and I know those of you that listen regularly, you just love Abe, sweet wife Maria, their children. But I was privileged to travel with Abe to India. Abe and his wife Maria, and I was on the team, and my daughter Maddie, and we went on a media mission trip to India. Now, we got with Prima and Eleazar, who they have boys' home, girls' home. Eleazar trains young pastors. We shared meals in their home. We traveled down these rugged roads in the third world country. And tell you a quick trip. So we go in a van down a steep hill. We go into a jungle starting to look a little like Gilligan's Island. The road plays out. We park the van. We start to walk. The path gets more and more narrow. We're in the jungle. all of a sudden it opens up and all of these crude homes made of bamboo and sticks and the most beautiful thatched roof and in a village. I mean, people, an underreached people group right there in India in the middle of, I guess you would say, a jungle. Well, another little note when we're leaving, we got back to the van, pretty good size, steep grade. It started to rain. We'd just been talking about answers to prayers and miracles, how God is sovereign. There was no possible way two-wheel drive passenger van we were going to get up this steep hill. It was inevitable. We were going to spend the night in the jungle. We prayed, got up that hill. Glory to God. But I just want to say, sharing meals, traveling to the other side of the world with Abe, he's the same person that you hear on the air. He's that way in person. Always looking for teachable moments, encouraging, edifies everyone around him. And again, he's my hero, and what a tremendous honor to fill in for him on this Tuesday evening. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
The work of being a parent is an awesome responsibility. It's a great responsibility. It's a privilege. It's a joy. Our job is to do all we can to help our children come to know Christ and then to passionately be involved in the work of discipling them, helping them to grow up in their faith, to become mature, strong, vibrant, young men and women who love Jesus and live for Jesus every single day. Lord, with every passing day and more, help us all to grow an understanding of how critical it is that we do our job, that we carry out what you've called us to do. But help us to know, Lord, that your word is a wonderful tool, a wonderful guidebook in helping us to be faithful disciples and faithful disciple makers as well. Use us in a wonderful way to help them to come to know Christ, and then use us and work through us to help our children to come to fall in love with you and with your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Well, thank you for listening to the Hamilton Corner. I'm not Abraham Hamilton III. I'm J.J. Jasper. I've been with American Family Radio since day one. J.J. and John in the mornings, if you happen to listen on our app. I'm one of the professors on Friday with Learning University, Trivia Friday, Tim Wildman and Ed Vitagliano. And so, yeah, it's a real treat. What an honor to fill in for Abe on this terrific Tuesday. One more news item. I'm guessing you haven't heard anything about this. This is kind of under the radar, but this was a real blessing. I spotted this news item. Pastor Brett Meter is going to host Portland's first evangelical crusade in 25 years. When you think Seattle, when you think Washington, Oregon, out in that part of the country, those of us in the South, those of us in Middle America, you just sort of grew up hearing, some of you grandparents remember Billy Graham crusades across the country, Dr. David Jeremiah evangelistic crusades, what's the fellow out in California, Greg Laurie, he has those huge evangelistic crusades. And, you know, Middle America, well, you had spring revivals in your local community, fall revivals, and out in Portland, apparently that's just something that's unheard of and very, very unfamiliar, because again, Portland is going to have their first evangelical crusade in 25 years. Revival and possibly one of the most liberal cities in America. Portland set to host the crusade here in just a few days. Please be in prayer for this, a series of three evangelical events with an expected turnout of 45,000 people. It's going to be August the 2nd and 3rd at the Moda Center, featuring nationally known Christian music artists Chris Tomlin, Zach Williams, Kerry Job, and Cody Carnes, along with a gospel message from Athey Creek senior pastor Brett Meter. So pray for this event, marking once again the Portland's first evangelical crusade in 25 years. Who knows? It may wind up being an Azusa Street revival or an Asbury revival breakout when the Holy Spirit of the living God shows up there in Portland. So those are some news items. And then I'd like to open up the Word and just share a message. Again, I think this is going to be something that will resonate with men, women, boys, and girls. If you've got your Bible handy, Romans 1, verses 14 through 16, this might read a little bit different. Mine, I think, is I'm reading from like the 1984 NIV version. Romans 1, verses 14 through 16. Listen for these three phrases. I'm obligated. I am eager. I am not ashamed. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. I am obligated. I am eager. I am not ashamed. And I want to talk to you this afternoon about personal evangelism. Dr. David Jeremiah, thinking about being obligated, he said, they will not seek, they must be sought. They will not come, they must be brought. They will not learn, they must be taught. Now, I remember as a new Christian many, many years ago, it just seemed like everybody was sharing the four spiritual laws, the Roman Road, there was the Campus Crusade for Christ, the Navigators, the colleges. There were so many students that were eagerly sharing the gospel. You had church visitation night. You had lay witness renewals. People just sharing their testimonies anywhere and everywhere. You'd go into a truck stop or a restaurant and you'd see gospel tracts there. Well, in my observation, I don't see that as much anymore. And it just seems like there's not as many people sharing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what I want us to talk about for the next minutes together that we have. Personal evangelism. Start with obligated. It's one of the hardest things, but one of the most rewarding things that we ever get to do is to be a witness, to share about our faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to some of these very familiar verses. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Luke 19:10, after Jesus talked about the lost, he's right in that section where he's talking about the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son, the prodigal son. You have this verse, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. So Jesus Christ, his mission, he came to seek and save that which was lost. So if we're Christians, if we're Christ-like, that should be our mission as well. I am obligated. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I'll make you fishers of men. Do you remember when Jesus looked out on the field and he said, look, the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Tell you a story of being a new Christian. We were radically saved, and a bunch of us in our friend group, we'd come out of different kinds of addictions, and so we really did come from darkness into light, and we were gloriously saved, almost like a Saul on the road to Damascus, where the bright light knocked him off his horse. And because this life was so new and real, and the love and the peace and the forgiveness, having realized our need for God, repenting of our sins, and receiving Jesus Christ into our heart and life by faith, we were a bunch of guys in our late teens, and we would just be, we'd go somewhere and say, well, is this seat saved? Well, are you? You know, and we were just telling everybody everywhere about Jesus Christ, and we had all of these four spiritual laws. Anybody old enough to remember that? Bill Bright, Campus Crusade for Christ, now Crew. The four spiritual laws, these yellow pamphlets, we had these chick tracks, and we were going to laundromats. We were going to where the kids were hanging out in the parking lot, and we'd just let the tailgate down in the truck and somebody have a guitar, and we'd just look for opportunities to get a crowd and then just share the gospel. Well, here I was 19 years old, new Christian. True story. I'm going down the road. It's July or August, just blazing hot. And I had to be somewhere, and I was cutting it close on time, and I was super thirsty. I looked up, and I saw Wayne Jackson Auto Sales, and there's some vending machines right up close to the road. I thought, okay, I've got time to zip in here, get a drink, keep going. And I was cutting it close on time, as I mentioned. So I go in there, I'm getting this drink. And for lack of a better word, this hippie was washing cars, and he just had on cutoff jeans and nothing else and wild, crazy hair, and he just looked like he was probably high. He walked over to where I was getting a drink out of the Coke machine, and he said, "What's happening?" Oh, and I had been driving down the road just singing and talking to the Lord and just so excited about being born again and just had the Lord on my mind. He said, "What's happening?" And I said, "Jesus is happening." And he just sort of looked stunned, and I said, "Jesus is a life changer. I wish I had more time to tell you, but I asked God to forgive me of my sins, invited Jesus into my heart and life by faith, and Jesus is a life changer." I said, I got to go. I drove off. A couple of years later, year, 2 years, I forget the timeline. I'm on a side of town I'm normally never at. I'm at a church service that I'd never been to a church service like that particular denomination. Not since then or not currently. I'd never been there ever. After the service was over, I just went at the invitation of a friend. I look up and I see a guy heading my way. And you can tell when somebody just got a laser focus. They're coming to you. I mean, stepping over chairs. He gets right to me. "I found you. Praise God, I found you." I prayed and asked the Lord to help me find you, and I found you. And he gave me a big bear hug. And I'm, you know, like, "Well, hey, good to see you too. How's mama and them?" You know how when you don't know who it is, and I think you're way ahead of me. It was that guy, and he said, these are his words, he said he dreamed about me, saw my face, and he said, "I was coming up to you. You look like you probably got high, and I was going to try to buy some drugs off of you. And I asked you what was happening, and you said Jesus was happening, and you just had a glow. And you just had this joy, and you just seemed so authentic and real." Then he said the Lord brought other people into his life to share the gospel more completely. But that's how powerful God is. That's how hungry people are. That all I said was, Jesus is a life changer. But because it says in Isaiah that his word will never return void, every time the gospel goes out, every time a Bible verse goes out, every time you plant a seed for the Lord, he will water that. And he'll send somebody else across that person's path. And when you share the gospel with somebody on the other side of the pump or on the assembly line or on the campus, you can be someone's prayer, because there's a mother and a father, a grandmother on their knees crying out to the Lord saying, "Please send somebody to share the gospel with my nephew. Please send somebody to share the gospel with my grandson." And when we're obedient and we're fishers of men, and we open up our mouth to tell somebody about the love of God, the psalmist said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So we're obligated. That's this first thing that the Apostle Paul said. I am obligated. You look around and people are hurting. They're not just in need of hope. They're desperate for hope. And it's like we've got the cure for cancer. It's even better than that. We have something that can change someone's life, not just for today, but for all eternity, when we tell them that Jesus is a life changer. And Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So that's the first point. I'm obligated. I am eager. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. There's an entire sermon right there. Where would we be without Simon Peter? All those stories in the Bible. Well, it was Andrew who first heard of Jesus, and the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." So I just hope this evening that you're eager to tell people about the love of God. You know, people say, well, I'm shy, and religion is somebody's personal business, and I just don't think that's appropriate to go and meddle in people's personal life like that. Well, the first of these three points, we're obligated. That's what Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be my witness. And then people will say, well, I'm not real good at conversations. I'm kind of shy. You know what? You talk about the things that you love. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So people don't have to go to class to learn how to talk about their grandbabies. If you're a grandfather, if you're a grandmother, it's just going to flow. You're going to find a way to work that into conversation. If you love sports, if you love to hunt, if you love to fish, you don't have to go to a seminar to learn how to talk about deer hunting or bass fishing or all these things that are important to you. Something that you love, something that brings value into your life, like those grandchildren, you just can find a way to work that into conversation. So, you know, it sounds a little bit painful to say, but I think if we just love Jesus more, if we spend more time in the Word, take more time to talk to Him, be connected to a Bible-believing church, if we just fall head over heels in love with Jesus, get as much in love with Jesus as Taylor Swift fans are in love with her. Or maybe we should say how they have her as an idol. But if we'll get head over heels in love with Jesus, like sports fans, like people that love to hunt and fish and all the rest, then you're going to find a way to work that into a conversation. Here's what I try to do when I see a clerk, when somebody's on the other side of the pump, when I'm pumping gas into my truck, I'll say, boy, the Lord sure has given us a good day. Just, I know that's just a little bit generic, and that's not, you know, sharing the Romans road, but it just is a little bit of a spark. It's just a little bit of a seed planted. And I cannot tell you how many times people will go, he sure has. And then I've flushed out a fellow believer, or, you know, I'll say something else about, boy, the Lord sure is good to us. He's better to me than I deserve. And then, you know, I've had conversations where they say, you know, that's interesting you'd say that, because I've just been thinking about God lately and thinking I need to get back in church. And I can't tell you how many times, just if you look for ways, if you have those antenna up and you're looking for ways to just plant a seed for the Lord, just to brag on Jesus, to invite somebody to church, there are a lot of things we can do to share the gospel. Hey, I'll be back with more. Here are these three points. I'm obligated, I am eager, and I am not ashamed. And we're going to talk about some of the excuses we have for not sharing our faith, and maybe offer some ways for us to push past our fear, to pray for a burden for the lost. But can you imagine if all of the people listening to this show right now, if we said, I'm going to do it, I'm going to push past my fear, and this evening, before I go to bed, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus, somebody at the corner store, a neighbor, somebody that the Lord's laid on my heart. I'm going to text somebody or call somebody and say, I should have told you this a long time ago, but I realized my need for God. I repented of my sins, and I received Jesus Christ into my heart and life by faith. I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven, and it really is good news. And Jesus is a life changer, and I just wanted to share that with you because you're my neighbor, or because we go to the gym together, or because you fill in the blank. People are hurting, a lost and dying world, and we need to be about the Father's business, going into the highways and the byways, compelling them to come. Let's tell someone about Jesus, the life changer. We'll be back. Thanks for listening to the Hamilton Corner.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor, on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
The term providence means God's superintending care over his creation.
America's Providential History with Stephen McDowell.
God is at work performing his will in history. And so through this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the providence of God in the history, and in particular in the history of America.
America's Providential History, available now on the podcast page at afr.net.
I feel no sting, I feel no fear. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Those were reportedly some of the last words of Pastor John MacArthur on his deathbed before he went to heaven recently. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." John MacArthur didn't have this confidence because he preached so many powerful sermons and impacted so many people. Like everyone else, he was a sinner in need of salvation, but he believed God in his gospel, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Hear part two of our program on John MacArthur at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend as we discuss how to grow in your love of God.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at afr.net. Back to The Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Well, Abe is out. I'm filling in for him. I'm J.J. Jasper. Thank you so much for listening to The Hamilton Corner. Thank you for your love and prayers and support for AFA and AFR. And Abe is the expert. I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to be a political pundit, but I did at least acknowledge some of the news of the day on the front end of the program. And then I wanted to share a message, something that's been on my heart. It seems like that we used to share the gospel more many years ago. We're talking about personal evangelism. We used to share gospel tracts and have the four spiritual laws and have the Roman road ready to share with someone at a park or in our neighborhood or at the gym. And it just seems like there were Saturdays people would even go knocking door to door and invite people to church and share the gospel with people. And it seems like that is very, very rare these days. So we started with if you just joined us, we've started with a little section of scripture, Romans 1, verses 14 through 16. And I'm going to read this short passage again. Might read a little different in your Bible. I'm reading from the NIV version, Romans 1, verses 14 through 16. Listen for these three phrases and feel free to share this and use this. I'm obligated, I am eager, I am not ashamed. I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to share the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And earlier we were talking about how we're obligated. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news. He said that when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. He said that he would make us fishers of men. And then, being eager, Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother, when he heard about Jesus, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. How about this? From many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. You remember the story there in John 4, verse 39, where the Samaritan woman is there, and Jesus is telling her very, very personal things about her life. And finally, she goes and tells the people in the village, you're just not going to believe how unique, how amazing this guy is. And, you know, I think I've found the Messiah. And she tells the villagers, and they come out because of her testimony, and many of them believed in the Lord because of her testimony. But then it says when Jesus started to teach, that many more believed because they heard from the Christ. We talk about the things we love, sports, new babies, grandchildren, hunting, fishing, and I just want to encourage you to fall head over heels in love with the Lord Jesus Christ so that that's going to be who you want to at least talk about occasionally, invite people to church, their work on your campus as classes resume. So I'm obligated, I am eager, and then I am not ashamed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Matthew 26, verse 75. Jesus said in Mark 8, 38, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Sometimes when I am not sharing the gospel like I think I should, and this is not about legalism, this is just about being obedient to the mandate that Jesus left us with. Look, I'm going to the Father. I'm leaving you here to be my representatives, to be my ambassadors. I didn't know if I was going to have enough time to read this. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And it says, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And listen to this from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead that you be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You are an ambassador. If you know the Lord, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're an ambassador, just like if we sent ambassadors to France and different countries. They don't have to pay for their own gas. They don't have to buy their own clothes. They're being taken care of, and their needs are met so they can be a good representative, so they can be a good. So they're on display to say, hey, America is a pretty good place. We're here to be an ambassador for America to let you know that we're all about faith, family, and freedom. Well, they go to these different countries, and they're an ambassador to tell the good news about America or whatever country they're an ambassador from. We're ambassadors of God. What an easy message to share. Someone who's never, ever lost a battle. He's never ever come in second. He's never ever tied. He's always victorious. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You have verses like Romans 5:8, where it just says that that verse that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so God loves you. He's not mad at you. He's not out to get you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And Jesus Christ, that little baby born in the manger who lived a sinless life, he never, ever sinned. And he willingly went to the cross to pay your penalty for sin, to nail my sins to the cross, if you will. And it's all because of the virgin birth, the sinless life, the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, that we can be born again. We can be in right relationship with our Maker. We can be in right relationship with our Creator. And that is good news. You don't have to die in your sins. You don't have to die and be separated from God for all eternity. And again, it's like we have the cure for cancer, but even better. And what kind of terrible monster would keep that to themselves and say, "I've got the cure for cancer, and it's free, and I can freely tell people about it, and their lives will be completely changed, and they'll be made whole"? Well, that's the gospel. We say your sins can be forgiven. You can be in right relationship with your Maker. God loves you. He's not mad at you. He's not out to get you. He longs for a faith-filled, spirit-led relationship with you, and we're his ambassador. So sometimes I have to admit it. I felt just a little bit embarrassed, a little bit ashamed to at the gym or, you know, to a neighbor. It just seemed like, oh, they're not going to want to hear this. And you know what? The times that I've shared the gospel, probably 18 out of 20 times people are receptive and they're glad to hear it. Because, again, people are hurting and they're not just in need of hope. They're desperate for hope. And we've got the best news ever to share with them. So here are some excuses that I've had, and maybe you've thought about this or struggled with this. You just feel like, well, I don't know the Bible like I should. What if they ask me a question? You know, you don't have to be a theologian. You can be like that fella who he said he was blind, and he said, I once was blind, and now I can see, and Jesus did it. And the high priest, the Pharisees, the different ones there, they tried to rebuke him and persecute him, and he continued to say, look, it's true. I was blind. Now I can see. Jesus did it. And they even went and got his parents. And, you know, what's going on here? They said, well, we know he's been blind from birth. He is our son, but we don't know what happened. You know, and they were afraid, and they threw him under the bus, if you will. And they said, he's an adult. Ask him. And he just doubled down and said, you know, and look how simple that testimony was. I once was blind, now I can see, and Jesus is the one who did it. Jesus is a life changer. And so you don't have to have the Bible memorized. You don't have to be perfect. None of us are. If you're waiting before you're perfect, before you share the gospel with someone, that's likely not to happen. But I just want to encourage you to fall in love with Jesus, pray for a burden for the lost. You know, that's not something we're going to just really normally, naturally do. But when you realize that in these last days, or somebody just driving to work, or you pick up the daily paper and you see in the obits how life is fragile, life is precious, but it's also fragile. And so you never know when someone's going to breathe their last breath. So pray for a burden for the lost. Push past your fear. Open your mouth and speak up for Jesus. What are we waiting for? And I'll end with, I had an opportunity to do the chapel for a wonderful Christian university in North Mississippi, Blue Mountain Christian University. I actually had a daughter, Maddie, who was going there, graduated from there. Our kids are kind of scattered out. One went to Mississippi State University. Another daughter attended the community college, and that was a good experience. Maddie, she was a student at Blue Mountain Christian University. I wholeheartedly endorse and support that university. If you're looking for a place, they have international students. They have students from all over America. But I was honored and privileged to do the chapel. And I had this message on my heart. And I don't, you know, I'm not gimmicky or anything like that, but I wanted to do something. And so this was very unconventional for me. I'd heard something on Focus on the Family. This was actually something they were talking about in terms of trying to win people over in the pro-life community and for the pro-life cause. And they said, don't feel bad if you don't think you have to win the argument and go, you know, from first base all the way to home plate in one encounter with somebody at the gym, at the park, or at a family gathering. If you just put a pebble in their shoe, and I think Jim Daly or one of the others said, do what? If you just put a pebble in their shoe, you know, if you've ever been hiking, if you've ever been, out in the woods or the mountains, and you're going on down a path and you get a pebble in your shoe, even if it's so tiny, you can't ignore it. You can't think of anything else. You're just like, you know, you're talking to me and I'm trying to concentrate. I'm trying to focus, but I'm so sorry. I've got a pebble in my shoe. And right now it just has all my attention. When you tell someone, God bless you, when you say, boy, the Lord sure has given us a beautiful day to the clerk. When you write a Bible verse on something, when you plant a seed, that's what we said for many years. But I think we've said that so much, maybe it's lost a little bit of the meaning. You know, hey, I just want to plant a seed and say a little something, put a little plug in for the Lord. So I actually took, Bobby, I took buckets of pebbles to this chapel, and I said, this is going to be very unorthodox, I want everybody to take off your right shoe, all these college kids, full chapel, put a pebble in your shoe, and then here's what I want you to do. Before the day's over, when you feel that pebble, when you notice that pebble, when it has your attention, tell somebody about Jesus. Because you go to the corner store there, that person may not even be from America. They need to hear the gospel. The different ones, you know, on campus, they may or may not have a personal relationship with Jesus, but just leave the pebble in there till the end of the day. When it has your attention, when you're thinking about it, you think to share the gospel. Well, after the chapel, I went over to the lunchroom after, you know, saying hello to the students, and I went with my daughter Maddie to the lunchroom. I walked by the table, and a college boy said, "Boy, that sure was a good message you had about sharing the gospel." And I said, "Well, I said, tell somebody about Jesus." He said, "I done did." I said, "What?" He said, "This pebble's got my attention. It's all I can think about." So I told the lunch lady, I said, "Do you know, has anybody told you today that Jesus loves you and that he died on the cross for your sins? And because of the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can have help and hope." Well, then one of Maddie's roommates, at the end of the day, she took the pebble out of her shoe, and the next morning she had the pebble on the table. She's going to put it back in her shoe. And my daughter Maddie said, no, that was just for the end of the day. And she told my daughter, "I shared the gospel with more people today than I probably have in the last 10 years. I'm going to put that pebble back in my shoe today to remind me that people are hurting. We're sinners who need a Savior, and Jesus is a life changer. Thank you for letting me fill in. I'm obligated. I'm eager. I'm not ashamed. Tell someone about Jesus before the sun sets, and let it be a part of our everyday life. Imagine what would happen if all of us shared the gospel with someone who needed that hope."
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.